Mesosis, the eighth and ninth days of creation, part 4, a chapter from the book Anaclism, started by Z. Charnot in 1972, published in 2004. Malice is the forceful pursuit of a small scheme, infringing upon more comprehensive schemes, but it is desperation which propels it. It would have been easier to say they were holy than to say they were super-intellectual. You simply couldn't separate the functions. I comprehend some of what consciousness is by the exposure to their nature. Every being constantly emanates thoughts, feelings, piercing energies, which permeate and which orient the substance within which he lives. He may be unaware of the effect of his emanations unless he closes the domains or loops upon himself to sense or to experience the emanations. That is the practice of consciousness. It is needful. The network through which the closure of consciousness takes place may vary in complexity and may vary in the duration of the cycles over which the sensed feedback occurs. It may also be a mingled report. Other forces may have converged and joined the emanations of our own to produce the resultant sensed by the practice of consciousness. Still weeping and weak, I arose, numb, overwhelmed, and walked, sobbing, along the brow of the mountain, through the trees, which had deposited upon the slope all of the fragments of their summer apparel, called leaves. I laid down upon the slope. Somehow, along came one sensitive enough to remain silent, concerned enough to cry with me, not knowing why I cried, nor needing for me to say. She laid her lap beneath my head in some graceful way I can't remember, and her tears fell on my face to double the streams upon my cheeks. Soon a couple seemed as compelled to have ventured up the slope and along the brow of the mountain, without the guidance of a path, to come upon us. He put his hand upon my shoulder. This was not the first act of upholding care he had rendered towards me. Moments passed which were not awkward, but were silent. A distant bell rang. The couple walked on. I arose quite numb and in staggered leaps made my way down the slope towards the bell. The days that passed required that I indulge in insincerity. It was a place and a time where as much sincerity as can perhaps be practiced upon the face of this planet was possible, but more agreement had been reached about exposing one's weaknesses than exposing one's nobility. Anything able to be construed as creating advantage of experience of one over another was not easily distributed. I could not speak much about what had happened. I tried, but found an unwelcome deflection among most to whom I tried to speak. So followed this course of retreat, during which I have correlated and cross-correlated all I can. I have searched as many tangents to the believable as I could find. It seemed to be necessary to start with the tangent to believable experience to distribute the insights offered by the yellow-orange beam. There is no nobility in this undertaking or this experience. There is compulsion. During the weeks that followed, a company, including the lap upon which I had rested my head, appealed to me to attend to my mutual feebleness. I could appeal effectively to get them to turn their attention to our mutual nobility. I consented with low index of sincerity to their appeal to simply sustain the relationship until I could appeal more coherently. If they read this, perhaps they will recall the episode and understand the predicament. In order to describe more fully the patterns imparted not from the yellow-orange beam of light, but the nature of the form from which it shone and they within it, I want to offer a name, a meaningful designation to this source, which became a womb of transformation for me in its intervention in my life. Anerlobe.